can step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 443. I'm Lisa Sheps, and I'm joined today by Nicole Shiro, my delightful co-host. Nick Mayo is not here today. We will miss him. You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. This streams live at KOOP.org. Remember, it's theater. It's on Offstage and On the Air. Do not go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Don't cry.
It is Wednesday, December 13th, 2017. On the show today, we have the Vortex Theater and Rob Nash's production of Holy Cross Sucks. And later on, we will have Broadway Across America's production of The King and I. And of course, we have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Houston, Philadelphia, and Des Moines, Iowa. Do not go away. Des Moines, Iowa. Hello. Put that microphone over by your mouth.
Hello. It's like 2 feet taller than me. I had to pull it down.
Well, you're like, you've got Kristen Chenoweth on your thing. Well, I guess we're going to talk about her in a second.
Yeah. We were just wondering at roll. I had to find out. So I'm ready now.
Yeah. I think I guessed right. So we'll tease our audience for that. So that little song was from, I decided to pick a few obscure things from the Broadway Records label. The Broadway Records, I believe, has now, they're just a few years old, and they've already recorded 100 soundtracks.
That's a lot.
Cast albums. That's a lot.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Can I give them a jazz hand?
Give them a jazz hand.
Woo!
So we like Broadway Records. That was from a show called Angel.
It was written about me.
It was. Just call me Angel in
the
morning.
No one could see Rob Nash rolling his eyes as I said that.
But I believe, if I'm not mistaken... Oh, you switched microphones, Rob Nash.
Thank
I had you.
You
on the other one.
Now
so, well, there, let's introduce Rob Nash, since he's here. Hey, Rob.
How you doing?
This is Rob Nash is joining us. This is one of the few times we only have one person guest here. And no Nick Mayo. So Nick Mayo is at home nursing a sick self and a sick puppy.
I know. We had to hold the Mayo today.
We need to hold the Mayo.
Sadly.
Yes. We love our Nick Mayo.
I know.
Well, it's we got some time to chat about things because not a lot opened up this week. I'm really only one show opened on Broadway. And it opened night before last, and it's called The Children. Did you see that? Did you read that at all?
I did. I saw them come over, but I glanced. I did not give full reads. I have to be honest.
Well, you may as well be honest. It was So it got a good review. Jesse Green did the review in the Times, and the playwright is Lucy Kirkwood. It opened at the Samuel Friedman Theater as part of the Roundabout season.
I think it was Roundabout. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Manhattan Theater Club.
Oh, I thought it was Roundabout
Manhattan Theater Club. We talked about Roundabout Theater last week. But it's interesting. It talks about, it's sort of, do you know anything about this, Rob?
I don't know anything about it unless it's The Children of Corn.
It is not.
Those creepy little children.
But one of the characters reads a lot of Stephen King.
Okay.
Okay, I just made that up. So this tells a story of very similar to the Fukushima plant that... the nuclear plant that went down in Japan. Oy vey, Mer, it's so not easy to talk. But they talk about how the whole thing started up with the... So I'll just read this first sentence. This is Jesse Green. First the earthquake, then the tsunami, then the nuclear reactor shuts down when a tidal wave reaches its seaside dome. But not to worry, that's why they have emergency generators in the basement. And they talk about how the show talks about this thing with the nuclear the generators are in the basement. But that is actually the truth from Nakashima. They did have. That's one of the reasons why it was so bad, because the generators were in there. Oddly enough, it's not an anti-nukes play.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, the story of what the author is trying to say, he doesn't tell us because it's a spoiler. So it just says...
Well, you know what? Good for him for not putting it in there. Go Jesse Green, because that doesn't always happen.
No, it doesn't.
So... Thank you, Jesse.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. It's a three-character play. It came over from the Royal Court Theatre in London, intact.
Step in Time.
We're going to talk a little bit about that in just a little second. He says, the play is as disturbing to replay in your imagination as it is to see in the first place.
I kind of like that.
Director is James McDonald. Who many people know has a farm.
I was about to say, he has a farm.
Yep. It stars, the cast is Francesca Annis, Ron Cook, and Deborah Finlay. I don't know any of those people.
Why? Deborah Finlay, her name is very familiar.
Well, they're all London performers. So it is a critic's pick. It is open now. It closes on February 4th, so it's a limited run. Some of the other critics said, I should say, mainly positive reviews.
Yeah, it all looked like... It was a lot of the thumbs up.
Yeah, so they said this is a bold and admirable choice for Manhattan Theater Club's Broadway venue. That was Charles Isherwood writing for Broadway News. New York One's Roma Torrey said this provocative British three-hander is so brilliantly performed, could have probably gone a bit smaller. Smaller than three?
Interesting.
So to get the other side, the Holiday Reporter's Frank Schick said, the actor's fine efforts are not enough to fully breathe life into this willfully slow-paced, sluggish work which treats minor domestic issues and the future of the planet with equal gravity. So
that's pretty cool.
Not everybody had to like it.
No.
That's it.
Well, I mean, different strokes for different folks. That's what makes the world go round.
That's what they say. So let's, this is off script, but let's just jump right into some of the things we were talking about before we went on the air. One was this is a play, a musical based on Death Becomes Her, or
so
play?
They just announced today they are doing a new musical, based on the movie Death Becomes Her. And Kristen Chenoweth is going to star in it. And we were all like, well, who's she going to play? She's not playing Goldie Hawn.
She's not.
She's playing Meryl Streep.
Interesting.
Yep. So I find it interesting.
No creative team.
Universal Theatrical Group is doing it, but they confirm there's no creative team attached to the project at the time.
How old is Kristen Chenoweth?
She's my age. I think she's a little bit younger than me. She's like 43, yeah. 44.
Okay.
She's like 2-3 years younger than me.
Yeah, she was probably...
I think she's in her 20s. because I think I'm still in my 30s.
Exactly.
I was about to say, because we're 18 in our head. And
I still think I'm in my 40s.
So, please. You are a young one.
That's true. Stop. So I find that interesting. They attach a star before they attach anybody else.
That's what I found interesting is, like, she's attached, but there's no director, no composer. No book writer, but she's attached. So she's going to play Madeline, and it's happening.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. And did you say it was a musical or not a musical?
It is a musical.
It is a musical. Interesting. Mm-hmm. It should be fun. So to remind folks, you've got the Meryl Streep role, the Goldie Hawn role, and the Bruce Willis role. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there should be some interesting
folks.
And then there was the Isabella Rossellini role.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you realize that movie's from 1992? Did it seem like
really
it was that old? I looked at the year just a second ago and went, what?
The first President Clinton was around at that point.
It's like, that's a long time ago.
The first and only.
Yeah, the only.
That's not the
only. I live in an alternate reality for the past year.
But that's not the only exciting thing.
You want to talk about, well, before you talk about what you want to talk about, which is what I think you want to talk about?
Probably.
Okay. Well, I'm going to lead up to it before we get right to that. So
it deserves a lead.
Every year we talk about the television networks that are doing live performances, and they've done
Bye Bye Birdie's coming up.
They didn't
That's
do
with
Bye
Jennifer
Bye
Lopez.
They did Hairspray. They did Sound of Music. Willie Vesemir.
Grease. Peter Pan.
This coming Sunday, Not a play. It's not a. Well, actually, it's I don't a know if it is the musical. Is it is
Call
the
Me
it
When
is
They Do O Calcutta. That's
no. Oh gosh, I don't think it'll be on Broadway regular. But don't it is so a musical either. Because they wrote a new Hanukkah song that Anna Geister sang.
So this is a Christmas Story, which I've never seen the movie all the way through, and that is
and
this.
It is a musical also.
No, I know it's a musical, but I didn't know whether they were doing the musical or the non-musical.
The musical. New music.
So that is this Sunday. And Anna Geisner is in it, you're
saying? Anna Geisner's in
it,
yeah.
In it? Who else is in it?
Oh, gosh, I can't remember everybody's name, but I just am addicted to her, so.
All right. So along those lines, NBC...
announced their next musical, which they will be doing Easter, and they're doing one of my favorites, Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yep.
And on top, they've only announced one cast member so far, which is everything. So they've announced Alice Cooper will be playing the role of King Herod. I just think it's awesome. But they do have some of the creative team, Lisa, and it's they're using some of they're using BBC theater director David LeVue.
Okay.
And there was someone.
Are there any of the teams that have done the previous
I want to say some of the other from what I
like
read.
The direction on Sound of Music I thought was really good. The camera work on Sound of Music I thought was really, really good.
I don't know. I know they're using some of the creatives from NBC, and then they also said they were using some of the creatives that did the Superstar Live stuff over recently over in Europe. So, but it's going to air on...
In the TV version, I didn't like the... They just kind of went around the fountain rather than doing the little Swiss clock characters.
They did. They did, and they didn't do the arm so long farewell. I agree with you on that.
They did different choreography. Isn't that amazing?
Well, we didn't like it.
Well, there was not a lot to like about that show other than Christian Borle and...
Lauren Benanti.
There was not a lot to like, although I did think the camera work was pretty good.
No, the camera work was.
I want to give a shout out to Alice Cooper for his role that he played in the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band musical with the Bee Gees and Peter Frampton back in the late
70s. Back in the day.
It was such a gloriously bad movie.
Yes, it was. I remember there's that one.
Alice Cooper's just, I mean, he's so dramatically awesome.
He's got to be in his... Late 70s 60? At this point.
Late 70s? I think he's in his late
60s. No, I'm in my early. I'm like right touching on 60, and he was a star when I was in high school.
I'm going to tell you how old he is.
But I was listening to one of my podcasts on theater, and they have this is Today on Broadway, and they have these guests that come
69.
In that are quite young at this point. And so they were talking about Alice Cooper doing this, and they asked this girl, who I believe she does a podcast on my way to a BFA or something, and says, what do you think of Alice Cooper? And she goes, well, I have to say, I'm kind of familiar with her work, but not incredibly. And they cut her off. He says, well, okay, well, you're not really familiar.
You're not
familiar.
Okay,
you're going to think I'm lying, but I swear to whatever you believe or don't believe in, in 1979, I was the Artful Dodger in Oliver at the Music Hall back in Houston, where now the Hobby stands. And in the Coliseum, which they were kind of back-to-back, Alice Cooper was having a performance, and some of the women from... Oh, wait, this was Sound of Music. This was Sound of Music. Some of the women went in their nun attire to the...
Alice Cooper show? Okay, that's kind of everything.
That's
awesome sauce.
Love me some Alice Cooper. School's Out for Summer, for those of you that's his biggest hit, but he had several others. Let's move on, shall we?
We shall.
So the other thing I did not...
Shall we dance?
Shall we? Speaking of... Well, we'll talk about that later.
You set it up. I had to go there. Sorry.
So I did not talk about it last week, but it came out last week. It came out on December 5th. The Best of Theater for 2007 by Ben Brantley and Jesse Green.
And you I mean just 2017?
Yes. What did I say, 2007?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was 2007, I actually think, was a good year.
So I'm going to just go through the list, starting with Ben Brantley's list. He had, and these were in alphabetical order. In Jesse Green's, he puts them in chronological order. So he liked The Band's Visit, I think everybody did.
Yeah, that's good.
That's pretty much going to win we're pretty sure that's going to win the best musical. The B-side, Negro Folklore from Texas State Prisons. This sounds like very interesting. I'm going to read. Do you know about this one?
We talked about this quickly, and then we didn't go back to it again. So,
because this is by the Wooster Group, and it says, this self-described record album interpolation from the Wooster Group asks us to listen with concentrated attention and virgin ears to the vinyl recording of songs performed a cappella by African-American prisoners in the early 60s.
Wow.
Sounds interesting.
Wow.
Burning Doors, which we talked about, mm-hmm. A Doll's House Part 2, mm-hmm. Carol Churchill's Escape Alone.
Oh.
Which it's all Jitney, of course. The Red Letter Plays that where Susan Laurie Parks plays that she did about Scarlet Letter. Richard III. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to read the description of this next one and you tell me what it is, okay? You ready?
I'm ready.
A man who packs stadiums with his high-voltage rock performances turns down the volume, but not the intensity, to reflect on American life as he's known it through the decades. Drawing from his own songbook and published memoir, Mr. Blankety Blank exudes a dark but cozy everyman omniscience that suggests a latter-day equivalent to the paternal
stage
manager.
You need to stop, because this is making my
Thornton
blood
Wilder's Our Town.
Boil.
I just set her
it's
up. Please go.
Not a Broadway show. It's Bruce singing a concert in a Broadway theater. That is blasphemy. He added that to the list. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
People
work and go
to
school and work so hard, and composers and writers and some. Bruce is God, but it's a concert on a Broadway stage, and people who work hard on a Broadway show got bumped for that. Oh.
Okay, I'm not sure anybody got bumped, but there you go. The last one he had on his
list.
Well,
let's talk about how many shows came out last year, and those were his picks. So somebody did get bumped.
Well,
he took a real show off to put a concert on there.
The last
That's
one on
wrong.
Here is Sunday in the Park with George.
Tell him, girl.
And
Jesse Green's list.
Did you notice that most of those were plays, not musicals?
Right. Most, and also on Jesse Green's as well.
And a concert.
Well, he said, Jesse Green's says his 7.5 plays and 2.5 musicals top his list.
I love that it's, and I'm a musical gal, but I love that these plays, there was a lot of good plays last year. That's awesome.
So there was a lot of overlap between the two lists. Jesse Green's Escape Alone, which is also on Ben Brantley's. Doll's House Part 2, also. One that we talked about on the show and sounded great. Sojourners in Her Portmanteau.
Yeah.
Was on. And this is another one called Cost of Living, which we also talked about on the show. This is the one about the amputee and blind woman. Very interesting. It's about people with disabilities. Master, As You Like It, the Public Works piece that I really wanted to see. Mary Jane, Amy Herzog. Springsteen on Broadway made both lists.
It's a concert.
Okay. Jesus Hop the
A-Train. A special concert at that, though. It's a very special concert.
Jesus Hop the A-Train. The Band's Visit, which was on both.
I'm in love with that, yeah.
And then he had an also thing, which I think bears mentioning. He also mentioned Sunday in the Park with George. I'll just read this whole thing because he says, Sunday in the Park with George for the sublimity of its score, Jitney for its ensemble cast, Hello Dolly for the joyful precision of its tribute to vanished theatrical style, the Playwrights Horizons production of The Treasurer by Max Posner for its grim honesty about aging, Jocelyn Bio's School Girls or the African Mean Girls play at MCC Theater for its giddiness, War Paint for its score by Scott Franklin and Michael Corey, and Michael Arden's ravishing restaging of Once on an Island, and Sandgold's Broadway revival, and I so wish Nick were here, of The Glass Meningery.
Oh.
And he said, I don't care if I'm the only one that loved it.
Yeah. I know. He's happy right now. I'm actually, I like that he wrote Once on This Island in there and gave them a little shout out.
And Butterfly's Closing. Way early.
That's like way early, right?
Yeah, it was supposed to. It was supposed to go through January. It's now closing this weekend. On December 17th. It was. It only did 55% of box office this last month. 56% of its house. It's grossing less than $400,000 a year, a week. And to remind everybody, this is the Julie Taymor.
I like Julie. Julie Taymor. Julie Taymor.
I really was rooting for her. I wanted her to have a win.
Me too. But you know what? She does have a win. Lion King just celebrated over 20 years.
I know, but she's been batting poorly the past several years.
So long ago, I lived in New York when it came out.
Did it well.
There you go.
And you know what's so great about that show? I just saw it again recently. It's still just as magical as it was 20 years ago. Yeah,
well, I was teaching theater in public school for a while, and when they would show a video back in our day, that was a big deal.
Yes.
But these kids are so spoiled, I can't get them to calm down and pay attention to, you know, to a video. But I would always make sure to show The Lion King opening the Circle of Life. It was an amazing thing. I'm sure it's much better live than the way it is captured.
It's amazing live, and she did some amazing things with very, very simple things. One of my favorite things that I've talked about since I first saw it, and it's so sillily simple but beautiful. So at one point during one of the African numbers, the cast members all around the house, and they have big sticks. On the end of the sticks are strings, and on the end of the strings are birds. Mm-hmm. And they're just waving them around the house. Mm-hmm. And that's all they're doing, but you just feel so enveloped by this show. It's just amazing. Very, very, very good stuff.
It is.
So
that's, and that's the same moment when my big puppet giraffes come out and feed in the water over the audience, and you swell with such joy. It's so exciting, and
really, I agree.
Yeah. And I looked. I mean, 20 years later, it still was just as mesmerizing. And that's go, Julie. So
So
she'll give us something again. She's not done.
Oh yeah, I know.
We're gonna
I know.
Have
she's
another
just had, she's had a little
moment.
Bad luck, but she'll get there. The Apprenticeship of Dudley Kravitz. There is a musical based on that book. It had a staged reading of last week at the Off-Broadway Theater, the York Theater Company. But it's coming back. This has got a score by your boy, Alan Menken.
Love me some Alan Menken.
Yep. And the lyrics are by David Spencer. So this is interesting. It also, they did it, and it did a full production in Montreal 2 years ago with Christian Trollinson, among others. That's Mr. and Mrs. Trollison's little girl.
Oh, they must be proud.
But this is interesting. It's gonna set to come here at some point. And I can't remember. I know I read or saw or something, Dudley Kravitz. Do y'all remember? Do you remember even who this is?
No, I was about to say, why do I know the name
it's a book
and it's
we
familiar,
all read
but I
back
can't
in the
remember.
Day.
Didn't
like,
he marry the second oldest Cosby daughter on the Cosby Show?
I think he did. So anyway, sounds interesting. That's that. And then the Head Over Heels musical, which is the song of the Go-Go's.
Yes.
We talked about
this. I was about to say the Go-Go's. Didn't it get hold? It held over, right?
It had a very successful run in San Francisco, and it is coming to New York next season.
Listen, the Go-Go's are kind of everything, like the Judy's. That was a great time.
Yeah. Go-Go's really rock.
Yep.
Oof.
They had a few more instruments than the Judy's.
They did. But it was that era of good stuff.
Yeah. Good. Poppy,
what was it again?
Poppy New Wave.
Good stuff. And when you got excited to wait in line at a record store and the music coming out, like it was, you had listening parties. It was so, again, it's that simple. You just download it and have it. There's no excitement anymore about it.
So the last thing I'm going to ask you is, are you all excited about the Barn, the Greatest Man on Earth musical that opens... Tomorrow, Friday, I believe.
I think Friday, and bum, Nick's not here because you know who did the music. Some of Nick's favorite writers, Pasek and Paul. I find it. I don't know how I feel about this. First of all, I knew they were doing the movie forever. I never realized it was a musical until not too long ago. I find it funny that they. I find it not funny. I find it interesting that they decide to do a whole movie honoring P.T. Barnum. After they closed the circus.
That's true. That is
like,
interesting.
Right. Like, the circus ended this year, but we're going to put out a movie honoring this man and his genius. And I'm like, it's just all odd to me.
Disney was trying to do kind of a big top answer to Cirque du Soleil about 20 years ago, and I saw
it. Yes, they did. It wasn't 20 years ago.
Barnum's.
Yeah.
It was 20 years ago.
Was it that long ago?
It was that long ago.
I don't think
it
was.
I saw it when I lived in LA, and that was a long time ago. It was called Barnum's Kaleidoscope.
Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay,
and it was
I remember
real
that.
Old school. They weren't trying to compete with the same type of stuff that Cirque does. They just had old school clowns. They were very old, old men, and they were delightful. Uh-huh. And they had animals, and you know, they had
the high wire, the trapeze,
looking at an old school tent. Circus, and it was gorgeous. It's too bad it didn't make it.
Yeah. Well, cool. We have to take a break. So we're going to take a break and come back. We're going to listen to a little thing from A Dog Story.
Ooh.
Called Freedom, also from Broadway Records.
Freedom, I savor the freedom.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hold the mayo.
We're missing our Mr. Nick Mayo today. Before we really get into Rob and his show, I do want to mention about Nick Mayo that I want to congratulate him on a successful run of The Drowsy Chaperone. I went to see it. It was lovely.
I love that.
He did a great job. And I wanted to talk to him. And I don't know whether this was called out in the script or not, because I don't remember ever seeing it before. But the chaperone's bed was a Murphy bed. And she makes her entrance, and it was too dark. It was during scene changes, so you didn't really see it unless you just happened to notice it. She was in the bed when it flips down, and she stays in the bed when it flips up.
That's
it's
kind
just
of
cute.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was really cute. So I give that a heads up to Nick. But next time you do that, Nick, make sure you put light on her so we can see it.
Do you know, I had an apartment with a Murphy bed, and I tried that. We couldn't get it shut with me in it. But I wanted to know, like, could you close yourself up? When I was in Chicago and
Laverne
I had it,
and
I was
Shirley
like,
"Did it all the time."
That's yes, they did.
That's what I said. I go, "I got to do a Laverne and Shirley and see if it works." We couldn't get it totally shut with me in there, and I'm little.
You are little,
but it didn't work for my bed.
So we have been chatting this whole last half hour with Mr. Rob Nash, who's doing a show over at the Vortex called "Holy Cross Sucks." And Rob, you've done a lot of one-person shows around. I believe you did a one-person, and I believe I saw it at the Vortex Christmas Carol years ago, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And the Christmas Carol roasting on an open fire.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is another one in the same ilk. It's a one-person show.
That's right. I'm guessing that
it's got something to do with Catholic school.
It does. You have guessed correctly. I went to Straight Jesuit in Houston like 35 years ago.
I never realized you went to Straight Jesuit.
You didn't realize that?
No.
Yeah, you didn't?
Mm-mm.
This was Straight Jesuit?
Straight.
Okay, yeah. So Straight. Because Straight Jesuit is right across the street from Gay Jesuit. Jesuit. But I'll be here all week.
I was like, are you here all week, Lisa?
And I hear Trans Jesuit is going up between them.
Yeah, it's the hottest Jesuit these days.
It's the best one. It's got all the good stuff. Jesuit. I went there, and I had two best friends. Well, I had several best friends, but I picked two of them, and I kind of started off telling off our stories, but it took a very hard turn to the fictitious. Yeah.
You can have a lot more fun with fiction.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you really want it to be the most important hour and a half of their lives. You don't want to sit and watch them for an hour and a half.
So how many characters are you playing in this one?
30.
30?
30.
Okay, so you decided to keep it small.
Yeah, I just, you know, we reined it in a little bit.
30's a lot. I mean, like, that would scare me silly.
Yeah,
well,
there
come
are.
Come and see it. It's an absolute horror.
So give us the give us a little bit of the plot?
Sure. We have our three best friends, our heroes, Ben, George, and Johnny.
I'm BG Ben. And J.
I'm Ben.
I'm George. I'm Johnny.
Ben.
Anyway, that's how
they, those are them.
I can't do it unless I'm in this space.
They popped up
I can't
here.
Remember the lines. Yeah. So anyway, they are best friends, and back in the 80s, it was not chic to be a geek. Being outcast was a lot bigger deal back then. There was certainly some lip service to embracing who you are and be yourself back in the early 70s and all the way up to the early 80s, but it didn't really get completely enveloped and become the over-the-top crazy let everybody do everything they want to do kind of thing that we have nowadays. But so they're a little geeky. They call themselves nonconformists. That's how we celebrated our differentness. And they don't quite fit in with the preps and the jocks, so they have their own clique. They're the nonconformists. And they just meet the cool teacher who kind of helps usher them through their 4 years in the early 80s during the Reagan years.
Was the teacher
great
a
music,
nun?
Bad politics. Sorry?
Was the teacher a nun?
The teacher was not a nun.
Oh, okay.
It was not a nun, no. And there's only one priest, and we only hear him over the loudspeaker, Father Sobosinski. It was four different plays, and so it was like 5.5 hours, and we had to get it down to 83 minutes. So there were 40 characters, but now there's 30.
Well, I have to tell you, the article that Michael Barnes wrote this mm-hmm. week on you in The Statesman was just quite lovely.
Oh, good.
Quite lovely. And I was like, hats off to you and Michael.
Michael went to Straight Jesuit.
Michael went to Straight
Jesuit 13 years before I did, along with Everett Evans, who is the Houston Chronicle critic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Everett's retired now.
Oh, I did not realize that.
Yeah, Wei Chen is the new.
Oh, yep. Cool. Mm-hmm. Dang, shows you what I know.
There you go. You got that. So this is not you're performing this at Vortex mm-hmm. this weekend in order to videotape it, correct?
That is correct. All four shows were
Tell
taping.
Us about that. So you've done this. This is a piece that you've done many times before.
I just realized it's 20 years old. I mean, I did Freshman Year Sucks 20 years ago. And then Sophomore Slump
in 98. It's been a long time since you've done this, right? Because
it has been a long time.
We
did it off Broadway 12 years ago, and I've done it twice since there. We played it here in 09, and then I did it at a college in 2012.
And then go to 09, because I was like, it's got to be almost 10 years, I think, since I remember the show.
It's crazy. It's crazy how that time just slips away.
So that's exciting. I want to hear all about it, but we have to take a quick little tangent.
Okay.
Earlier, I asked you to pick a number between 2 and 54 and not choose 3. 37 and 27 of you, of course, chose 3, 27 and 37. But remind me what the number was.
29.
29.
It was 3, okay. I think.
Pardon me?
It was 3.
There's 3. Yep. So, 29. And you know what? I couldn't remember, and I put 39. So let me just re-cue this to 29.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's not too hard. It's only a 10 cue.
Yeah. It's only one shy of the number of characters.
Is it Electric Company with the pinball machine? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
That's actually Sesame Street.
Let's see what it is.
Street.
It
was. Okay.
Ready?
Okay.
Good afternoon, Austin. Here's the headline for today.
And we're the Cast of Newsies, and
you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP 91.7 FM. Hornsby, Austin.
Ooh, we're dancers.
Oh, yeah.
That's KOOP Hornsby, Austin. Yeah, there you go. Cast from Newsies.
Jeff Calhoun.
I don't think we've played that one before.
I was about to say, I don't think we've played the
Newsies. I believe that's the first one.
We haven't played that.
Jeff Calhoun directed that, and he directed my play.
There you go.
Oh,
see?
And see? How...
See how it's... it's.
God wanted you to pick that.
And you wanted to pick 327 or 37.
Silly me. Are you sick of those, I'm guessing?
No, they're the ones that everybody picks.
37 and 27 are. 3 is really great, but it was really it was an editing mistake, and it goes on for 3 minutes.
I see.
They're all really good.
Okay.
But
yep. So you're shooting this to, what is it, like multi-camera shoot?
Three cameras. My nephew is going to be running one of them.
Lovely.
And another best friend of mine from my early stand-up days, Emery, who... He edited the film The Aristocrats. Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He edited that. So he got to listen to the joke over and over.
Laughed so hard during that, and I didn't want to because it's really bad.
Bad, I know.
It's just
well, you know what? You like Holiday Inn, and that's okay.
Love Holiday Inn. but I also like
bad.
It's a Wonderful Life. Mm-hmm. And you don't like that.
I love It's a Wonderful Life. I did It's a Wonderful Life 70s Christmas special starring the Fonz. I did that at the Vortex.
There you go.
Oh, that's awesome.
So this is a I'm going to guess by the title that we're not going to want to take our littlest kids to see this.
No, I only use the F-bomb 38 times.
Well, that's not bad. And how long? What's the running time?
It's about, I'd say 90, because we're going to have an intermission. So you should be out.
But
in
that's
an hour
not
and
that's not bad.
Well, no, that's a great. No. Yeah, that's a nice little. Yep. Fun evening.
And it flies. Evening. It flies.
I'm sure it does. And it's wonderful. Talking about the what it takes to play the different characters and code switch so quickly, I think only, just like Nicole was saying earlier, I think only a few people can do that. I mean, Martin Burke does it really well. You do it really well. What's the secret? How do you get into a headspace where you can flip around so easily?
Same way you get to Carnegie Hall. Practice. Yeah, you just do it over and over and over again.
All right, it's kind Nick Mayo would have loved that answer. I wish Nick Mayo was again here today for
Who
that.
Is this it's all about Nick Mayo. Nick He's our third co-host.
He's third. Cool.
The other Nick.
Does he design lights or something? Or
what? He's a performer and director.
Oh, he's a performer and director. Okay.
And he directed Drowsy Shepherd.
Oh, how about that? Oh, awesome.
He was a star on Broadway for years. Yeah. He came here with us.
We love our Nick Mayo.
Yeah, cool.
Awesome. But we're holding the Mayo today.
Right.
Yep. So basically
hold
practice, practice. So anybody
hold
can do
the
it.
Lettuce, special orders don't upset us. All
oh
we
gosh.
Ask is that you let us have it your way.
Okay.
Y'all are making
we
my
cannot
day.
Do commercials for commercial entities like Burger King.
Yeah, but they haven't had that on for, 20 years now, right?
I know. Oh, what about two all beef patty special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles,
and
onions?
It's got a sesame seed bun.
So, okay. Well, we'll talk about this later.
That was 40 years, guys. I'm sorry. It's been that long.
We're old.
So you're at the Vortex, and we're actually running out of time. We can pick up a little bit more of this when we step backstage. Just this weekend, correct?
That's correct.
How many
Thursday,
shows?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 8 o'clock.
And are you shooting every show?
We're shooting every show.
Shooting every show. That's going to be a
my
fun
nephew,
that's a
editing
lot of
job.
Editing.
Not be there for Saturday because he's going to see Star Wars.
Who's Uh-oh. Going to go
my
see?
My nephew. He won't be shooting Saturday.
So. I don't blame
if
him
come
for
to
that
see
one,
him,
though.
He won't be there.
Well, I wouldn't blame him if he was going to see Pitch Perfect 3. 1 week away. Can't wait. So where can folks go to get more information? This is open to the public, I see.
Yeah, thevortexrep.org. You go there and you click.
You click what you
click
need to
me.
Click.
Yeah, you
yeah,
click
you,
me
pretty,
and then there's
it's
a place
easy.
To go and buy
Actually, when you go to vortexrep.org, it's the very first thing at the top of the banner. You cannot miss it. Yeah. And there is more information. Well, Rob
Tickets
Nash.
Tickets are selling fast, so get yours.
Rob Nash, thank you so much for...
coming and joining us today.
Coming and joining us. And hopefully you'll stick around and go backstage with
Absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely.
Great. Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You bet. You bet. You bet.
That was Rob Nash. His show, Holy Cross Sucks, is at Vortex Rep, December 14th through 17th at the Vortex Theater. For more information, vortexrep.org. We will be right back.
At St.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick to the First Power.
Nick. By myself.
We have been speaking to Rob Nash. Now we're talking just a little local stuff. I want to remind everybody, because I watched it last week, and it's playing again next week at Ground Floor Theater, the Rude Mex Christmas Carol Karaoke. It's just so much fun. So this is a Christmas carol that the audience does. Everybody wears headpieces or little earphones, and they even do harmony. So they do, through these earphones, you're like basically... saying along with other people, but you also do the song, the Christmas Carol, the Carol of the Bells, and they send everybody to their own phone, their own sound part, and they say it's pretty cool, and it's really fun. So more information would be rudemex.org. It's at Ground Floor Theater, not this weekend, but the following weekend. That's pretty cool. And also, I think they've been on the show before, but this came across my email. Beethoven concert series.
Oh,
have you seen them?
I saw this, but I meant to look it up, but I didn't know what it was. It made me giggle. So please do
so
tell
it's
me.
At it's on December 23rd, 12 p.m. That's a Saturday at Lazarus Brewing on East 6th. It's called From the Tap. Director Daniel Swayze has brought in the Tinsel Singers to bring classy Christmas tunes.
Okay, wait. The Tinsel Singers are going to the Beethoven? That just makes it even cooler.
Yep. So the concert series in general is the Beethoven concert series is a down-to-earth, approachable celebration of classical song and chamber music, a quirky mixture of Oktoberfest and Bachfest, et cetera, et cetera.
I love it.
December 23rd.
Bach the beer or the Baroque guy?
The Baroque guy.
The Baroque
guy. But I'm sure
he and I have the same birthday.
Do you really?
He and I have the same birthday. And Rosie O'Donnell.
What? I'm George Michael.
Local
and Carly
stand-up
Simon.
Comedian J.R. Brow.
There you go.
Oh.
That's
Who do
amazing.
You share a birthday with?
I believe all I really care about is me, so that's all I know.
Whoa!
I don't think I share a birthday with anybody in particular.
How about no one shares a birthday with you?
That's it.
Yeah.
So let's... did you want to talk about anything specific?
You go. Let's keep going.
Of course, Christmas Carol is still going on at
Christmas
Zach.
Christmas Carol and Tuna Christmas run through December 31st. And Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe is playing too. But
The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe is what she used to say that very softly. So I just said that. That's also at the ZachTheater.org. So let's jump into Today in Theater History, shall we?
Today in theater history.
And right along the way, we're going to talk about Dick Van Dyke.
Step in time. I knew he had to
You
come
know why?
Because
it's his birthday.
It's surprising. I had a feeling when you said Step in Time was coming up.
It is indeed the birthday of Mr. Dick Van Dyke.
How old? People know him.
1925. He's the same age as my father would have been.
Wow. Really?
So, yeah. And he's still alive, isn't he?
He is still alive,
yeah, so,
yes.
Wow. That's going to be upper 80s or something.
He had a memoir out earlier this year, remember?
Yeah. So he did, on Broadway, he did Bye Bye Birdie and Girls Against the Boys, which I tried to find and I couldn't.
Yeah.
Don't know that.
A lot of guys my age were not Bobby or Robert. We were Rob because of Rob Petrie.
Petrie.
You know, I can make anything on this show about me.
That's it. Yep, you've got competition. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know what, when they redid the, they did Dick Van Dyke and they colorized it and they redid the specials like a few months ago and I was watching them all. Man, his timing, it's so unbelievable that that stuff is still so funny and current now that and I was like, why don't
team
they
him
show
up with
this
somebody like
often?
Mary Tyler Moore
That's
and
what
oh my
it
god
is. You put it all together. I mean, I was
and Maury Amsterdam, don't and, forget Maury Amsterdam
and Rosemary
and they're decorating the Christmas, maybe it was last holiday, I don't know, but I laughed so hard and I was like, thank you Primetime for putting that back on.
Mm-hmm. Also the it's birthday 4 years younger is Mr. Christopher Plummer.
Oh, and yes, he just got a nomination.
First up,
he took over the role of J. Paul Getty in the movie. They just had to cut Spacey out.
The movie of what?
About Getty's son being kidnapped.
Oh, I don't know anything
and,
about it.
Kevin Spacey was in it. It was just got finished editing, and they cut him out and filmed Christopher in 3 weeks, and he already has the nomination.
There you go.
Yeah.
Amazing. And, of course, he's very well known for doing Captain Von Trapp and The Sound of Music in the film. 1970... they open, Maureen Stapleton opens in The Gingerbread Lady, which I had not heard of, but it is one of the, it's his first, and from what I know, the only that I know, a drama by Neil Simon.
Oh, I'm like, why is the name familiar? You know why?
The Gingerbread Lady. It's the story of an alcoholic singer, an alcohol singer's decline.
It's, you know, when you buy the giant volume of the big thick, like the big Shakespeare, and you can buy all the Neil Simon plays.
Oh, wow.
It's in that in that play. You can buy it there.
That's about the size of seven Bibles. He yep. just wrote and wrote. And
yes.
He did.
Didn't stop.
Nope.
He kept on ratting.
In 1979, Oklahoma was revived at the Palace Theater.
Why?
I actually.
I love Oklahoma.
I'm not crazy about it. I saw this revival in 79.
And you
My
said, why didn't you?
My grandfather was in the service, so he got, you know, in World War II, and so he got discounts to go to Broadway plays, and he had a chance to go and see the original Oklahoma, but it was standing room only, so he went and saw Desert Song.
Yeah, there you go.
Interesting.
Yes.
I would have done that.
There again, brings Oklahoma right back to Rob Nash.
Mm-hmm.
1979, the Negro Ensemble Theater presents
1979, Home. Never mind.
By Sam Art Williams. It was at the St. Mark's Playhouse, and then it transferred to Broadway. And then finally, 2009, this is the Catherine Zeta-Jones version of A Little Night Music by Stephen Sondheim.
Oh.
Directed by Trevor Nunn. And it was previously at the Meniere Theater Chocolate Factory. And I believe that there's a controversy about... I need to double check the pronunciation of Meniere Chocolate Factory.
If it's Meniere.
And Chiclella, who I trust implicitly, says it's Meniere. But this other podcast I listen to keep calling it Meniere. I'm hoping we're right and they are wrong.
You say either and I say either.
All right, birthdays.
Born anniversary.
Van Heflin.
Oh, Van Heflin.
Lillian Roth, also 1910. John Davidson, 1941. So here's an interesting thing about John Davidson.
Van Heflin and Roth. That's interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah. John Davidson, in the
70s. That's incredible. Do you remember him on That's Incredible?
Yeah. In the 70s, he did something where he had to shave his eyebrows and he came on the Carson show.
I don't remember.
And he talked about it. And so whenever I think.
He wasn't in Matrix.
of John Davidson, I think of him with no eyebrows.
Can I tell you something cool about him?
Please.
He is going to be Finding Neverland's coming on the Broadway. He is playing Hook the tour of Finding Neverland.
Yeah. I will be getting it. Just coming here.
That's coming here at Bass Concert Hall. You will get to see one John Davidson from That's Incredible.
Maybe we can get
John Davidson.
Well, hate is a pretty strong word.
That's why I chose it.
Yeah, but he was on That's Incredible.
All right, we gotta keep going. Other birthdays, Barbara Schuller.
Hello, Barbara.
Happy birthday, Barbara. Happy birthday. And then our very own here at the radio station, Rocky. It is Rocky's birthday tomorrow as well. So we're going to take a break. We're going to listen to a little bit of Dick Van Dyke, and then we're going to come back and listen to our interview with...
King and I.
Yeah.
Gray skies are going to clear up.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick to the First Power.
Just me, solo Nick.
Hold the mayo.
Hold the mayo.
We have been talking all day with Rob Nash. So we're going to have to jump right into this interview, or else we're not going to get the whole thing. So we were fortunate enough to talk to Jose Lana, who plays the King and King and I. And so just to hear something, I had to check my ignorance. I will admit to this on the airways, and I'll test you guys. As I was sitting there, I realized that I didn't know what country is now Siam. Do you two?
Well, yeah, because I went to the actual palace and traveled, so don't ask
Rob,
me.
Rob, do you know?
Is it China?
No, it's Thailand.
It's Thailand.
Thailand.
I felt really stupid. I go, I don't know what Siam is. Mm-hmm. So it's Thailand.
Yeah, I went to the actual Siam Pen, I forgot King you were Summer over there. Palace and went to all and saw it. It was kind of cool.
All right, so let's listen to this interview. Nicole and I are here talking on the phone with Jose Lana. He plays the King of Siam in the Broadway Across America's production of The King and I. How are you, Jose?
I'm great. How are you?
Any better and I would be twins.
And
Lisa is on fire today, that's Jose.
Amazing. I'm on fire today. So you are playing the King of Siam, the role that many people know that Yul Brynner.
Brynner.
I just changed his name. Yul Brynner played.
I'll let Yul know.
Or as he wanted to be called, Mr. Brynner.
Right. So I am playing the role of the king that made famous by the Mr. Brynner, Brynner, although his lesser known brother Brynner
almost as well. You don't want to piss off Yul Brynner.
No.
So you're actually returning to the role after doing it on Broadway, correct?
I am. I took over for the role from Ken Watanabe in the Broadway production that we did on the Concentra 2 years ago. But actually, my connection to the piece goes back much further. 20 years ago, in the last revival on Broadway, when the King was played by Lou Diamond Phillips and Donna Murphy was Miss Anna, I actually made my Broadway debut as a sprightly 19-year-old playing the young lover, Lunta.
Oh, lovely. Do you know my friend Irene Cho?
Irene Cho, was she in that production?
I believe she was. She did King and I for years.
And I know the Greg Zane who worked on the current production. Greg does a lot. Does a lot of stuff in Austin.
Oh yeah, Greg and I were both in the production on Broadway in '96 as well.
Awesome.
So my connection to the piece has been. I mean, it started my career 20 years ago. I was very young. I was a freshman in college when I got that, and to come back to the show in this capacity has been. A really big full circle sentimental journey, and a real honor to tour this production. You know, when I joined the company on Broadway with Lincoln Center 2 years ago, I actually Bart the Sheer, had given me already indication that they were going to ask me to take this on the road, and it was a real honor since how I started getting into theater was watching touring companies come through DC where I grew up.
Uh-huh.
So to be able to bring the show around in this really first-class production is a real honor.
That's great. It's got to feel sort of like coming home.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. It's not about King and I, and we'll get back to it, but I'm just thrilled that you also did Here Lies Love.
Yeah.
Which was an amazing show.
Yeah.
Just amazing show.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my gosh. I'm so happy when people say that they saw it and actually, you know, we're excited about it. It's by far one of my most proudest theatrical jobs, and the fact that I was able to create that with David Byrne and Alex Timbers at the Public Theater still is one of the high points of my career.
So tell our audience who you played in that show.
I played the infamous President Ferdinand Marcos. So
yes,
I only
and
play kings
you and probably don't remember this, but maybe you do. You actually put your arm around me, and we were on camera together.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure he remembers it. But the show itself, I was just, and the reason why I wanted to talk about it was just so innovative in its style. Everything about it was amazing, and it was so great to see all these non-white faces on stage. And at that time,
right,
this was pre-Hamilton. You didn't see that very often.
I agree. It was a new way of thinking about theater.
And I'm stealing the style, by the way. I'm going to be doing that myself sometime.
Yeah. you know, I think everything about Here Lies Love was like a perfect storm of kind of innovative thinking from David Byrne, mm-hmm. who just, you know, he is a genius. He's a living genius.
I was like, he's just kind of that crazy outside the box guy in the first place.
Exactly. I mean, if you look at his life and his career and not just his music, but his art career and his writings, and he's just someone who always just thinks interesting directions about things. Then you add to that kind of the personal background for me, being a Filipino American, someone who left the Philippines because of the martial law and the Marcos regime,
right,
whose parents are proud anti-Marcos, anti-Vistas, you know, to be able to revisit my heritage and to be able to tell a wider audience. You know, the vast majority of Americans don't know anything about the Philippine culture except for the shoes.
I was like, the shoes. Sadly, the shoes, yeah.
You know,
well, I think people were, I mean, it depends on who you were. If you're paying attention to the news, you got a little bit more. But the shoes were a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we explicitly did not have anything about shoes in our show, which was
pointed
on purpose. But it was a proud moment. I was involved with that show, the creation of the show, for a solid 2.5 years before we opened it up to the public. And it was just, and some of my best friends now in the industry came from that production. And it's funny, every time I walk around a shopping mall and Talking Heads plays on the radio, I go, that's my friend David Byrne.
That's Davey. Yeah. I call him Davey.
Yeah. Well, actually, I called him David Brenter. So,
of course, as you should. Well, speaking of David Brenter, his brother Yul Brenter used to be in a show called King and I. Because I could talk about Here Lies Love forever, and if I didn't say it, you did an awesome job in it. And I assume you're, and I will learn for myself very shortly that you're doing an awesome job as the King of Siam and King and I. What can folks expect in this production versus like the movie, or if they were fortunate enough to see one of the earlier Broadway productions? Because this is a little different, isn't it?
Yes, something we're really proud of, and something that comes directly from Bartlett Scher's influence. When he set about reviving the show for the Lincoln Center, he went directly to the Rodgers and Hammerstein Foundation and got permission to go back to the original script written in 1951. And I mean before Broadway. They took it out of town, as most Broadway shows do. And the original script had much more political overtones to it. Mm-hmm. He wanted to bring those lines back. A lot of political lines that dealt specifically with politics were edited out over the years in favor of a more kind of like family-friendly, romantic story. But he was really, it was really important for him to bring back the lines about Cambodia, about political unrest from the West colonizing the East, because he really wanted to make sure that that was an important part of the story. So that's going to be very different. And also, and even more importantly, he wanted to reinforce, and this is purely out of his direction and how he directs the beautifully strong women that I get to play with every night, play opposite every night. He wanted to bring out the feminist overtones of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And to really accentuate what Rodgers and Hammerstein always were, which were kind of before their time feminist. Almost all of their shows have such strong female characters that are way before their time.
That's true.
Women who are outspoken, not just in King and I. You know, we have Lady Tiang, who basically runs the palace. You have this very outspoken slave girl from Burma, Tuptim. And Mrs. Anna is someone who's speaking up against the king. Like, these women were strong feminist characters when 1951, and they continue to be in 2017. And so I think he wanted to make sure that these three women that surround the king are real voices in the show and not just appendages to the king. And I'm really proud of that.
Well, it's I'm really, really looking forward to seeing it. Where are you guys right this very second?
I am talking to you from, I have to think about it for a second, St. Louis.
St. Louis.
St. Louis.
So are you going to go up in the arch?
You know, people keep talking about that. I'm a little on the claustrophobic side. And
Then don't go. You sit in a little ball.
Yeah, they say you ride up in this thing that's about the size of a small fridge,
yep.
And then they drag you up.
Yep.
And I think there's a point in my life when I said I will never get into a small fridge.
You draw the line there.
Probably smart. Have you been to Austin before?
I have been there once. Just visiting some friends, and we heard some great music, and that's what I'm really excited to come back to. But it was so long ago that I had yet to hear about what this Whole Foods thing was.
Yeah.
So that was quite a long time ago. So I'm excited to come back. I have some friends who keep sending me in recommendations on great music to listen to and grant them great food. I'm staying in the downtown area, so I'm excited that I'll be in walking distance to some good stuff.
Great. Well, we are all looking forward to having you. We all got together yesterday and said how much we're looking forward to having you here.
Well, we did.
Thank you very much.
All of us. Well, Jose Lana, it's been so great having you on Offstage and on the Air. And I, for one, am looking so forward to seeing this production. I can't even tell you how excited I am.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
Well, unfortunately, during this production, I won't be able to put my arm around you again and sing at you during the show.
I will be coming up on stage.
She may knock Anna out, and you may be dancing with someone else.
That's true. I do bring my hoop skirt.
Hello.
So, thanks again, and best of luck here in Austin.
All right, thanks so much. Looking forward to it.
Okay, bye-bye.
That was Jose Lano. He is playing the King of Siam in Rodgers and Hammerstein's The King and I. Play now at Bass Concert Hall through the 17th. For more information, austin.broadway.com.
Sometimes I think the people going mad. We are back. Well, we never really left, actually. We've been here the whole time doing that interview. Actually, that was a pre-recorded with the star of King and I, played the King of Siam. Anyway, we're completely out of time. Remember, like us on Facebook, tweet us on Twitter, and all that other stuff. Austin Monitor News is next. We will have Backstage, so if you're listening on the podcast, we'll be coming right backstage, so don't go away. Otherwise, stand by for Austin Monitor News. As I said, they are next.
Ciao.
What you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips are down. What you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips are down.
All right, well, the curtain has just come down on I'm So Tired, the musical, I Can't Think. That's the whole thing.
I can't stay awake
to perform it. Sort of self-explanatory. So we have finished the show. Most of us have finished taking off our makeup and costumes. We've gone backstage. We're standing downstairs in front of the dumpsters in liquids that we don't really know what they are, but
no,
here we are.
I don't need to know.
And here joining us is Rob Nash. Hi, Rob.
Hey, how you doing?
Thanks for joining us back here.
He's having a hard time walking in his hazmat suit.
Yeah, well, hazmat suits are hard. We should start handing those out. That'd probably be a really good thing.
I know. Well, they're not in my budget. I can only do a few here and there.
There you go. So, Rob, this is a chance where we get to know a little bit about you versus the show you're doing.
Oh, sweet.
So, we've actually been talking off mic a lot about stuff. And did you grew up in Houston, Texas?
I did. I grew up in Houston, Texas.
Born and bred in Houston?
Born
and
bred.
So you...
Is your family all still there?
No, my mom is. But no, I got a brother in San Antonio, a brother and a sister here in Austin, and a brother in Round Rock, so...
Oh, your poor mom just got left there.
She did.
Poor mom.
Mm-hmm. With me.
How'd she fare with Harvey?
My father died the day before Harvey.
Oh, God. I am so sorry to hear that.
And we came here. My siblings all came down that Thursday, and they said, we need to get out. And I was like, oh, come on, this will blow over by Sunday. I was so wrong.
Yep.
So I was here for a week, and I went back, and then my mom came back the following week. And our house was right by the Buffalo Bayou, but we didn't get any water. It was amazing.
It was really weird where it chose to go. Yeah.
So let's talk about how you found theater.
I found theater. My godmother. let me back up. In 1976, we went to see 1776 at Miller Outdoor Theater in Hart Park. And
By Tutz.
And the next year we saw Gone with the Wind, where they had like horses on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And the following year
Didn't they have horses on the stage?
They had horses on the stage.
I remember that.
Yeah, and a guy that played the Clark Gable role, Rhett Butler, he had like his script all over the stage because he didn't know his lines.
It's
a four-hour musical. You know, it's crazy.
And, so that's a good enough excuse.
Yeah, right.
So now at this point in 76, you were a young tyke.
I was 10.
You were 10?
Mm-hmm. I was nine.
Okay. And so
It wasn't until 1978 that my godmother said, hey, Rob would probably like this. And I started taking Tutz classes. And I was in all the musicals that year. Music Man, Scrooge, the original Sound of Music, and I was the Artful Dodger in Oliver. And in the kids' plays, I was Danny Zuko, and in Grease, and General Bull Moose and Lil Abner, and I found my home.
There you go.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is actually news to me because I'm now learning that you are a musical performer as well.
Oh,
have
yes.
you done musicals lately?
No. Let's see. I just did. Frank Young, who was the founder of Tutz, passed away. In fact, he died on my father's funeral, and we had a memorial for him. We did a memorial performance of some of his favorite songs, and so that's the last time I was on stage, and that was only a month or two ago. And before that, I did with the kids on the Miller Outdoor Theater stage, I did the French Chef from Little Mermaid.
And, oh, I love it.
Yeah, about 11 years ago, I was the genie in Aladdin.
That too.
But then you'd have to go all the way. Oh, wait, I wrote 12 Steps to Mother... 12 Steps to a More Dysfunctional Musical. I almost said mother something. 12 Steps to a More Dysfunctional Musical, and I sang in that as several different characters.
Okay, wait a minute. What is 12 Steps to a More Dysfunctional Musical?
Well, it's the sequel to 12 Steps to a More Dysfunctional You, 12 Steps to a More Dysfunctional Christmas, and 12 Steps to a More Dysfunctional Family. I'm working on Dysfunctional Family 5, DF5. This time it's personal. That's
going to be... Oh, my God, that's amazing.
Next, and I started doing Landmark stuff, you know. It used to be Est. Started doing that.
You did Landmark?
Yeah, I'm doing it now. I'm doing it.
You are? Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing a program. It's kind of gotten me out of my depression. So
okay,
I
good.
Thought they were
Whatever
a cult for years, and I decided to give them a try, and it's amazing. And Winsong, the new age lesbian who was the one who went to all the, you know, my name is Winsong, and I'm a great recovering alcoholic. She's going to do Landmark stuff in DF5. This time it's personal.
There you go.
That's so what she would do.
That's fascinating. So after your education, and we were talking again pre-mic, back when I was really young, and Tutz was a thing as well, but there was a battle between schools, and so mm-hmm. I went to the other school, and we badmouthed Tutz all the time.
Yeah.
Joke's on us. Look how great Tutz is doing.
I never heard of you.
I think Studio 7 was long gone, so I moved away from Houston in 1977. I think, you know, once I left, why stay open?
Exactly.
But Chris Wilson opened up another school out in the village.
Okay.
So after high, did you go, you went to, we discussed this, Catholic school. After high school, where'd you go? What'd you do?
Okay, I came here. I went to UT Austin.
Oh, okay.
I was an English major. I started off in the drama school, but I went to treatment instead at the Meadows, and that made me miss the fall semester, so I was going to have to start with the next batch of fall kids. And by the time that came around, I thought, no, I want to do anthropology. And so by the time I transferred into liberal arts, I finally said, no, I need to do something practical, English, in case I have to be a teacher. And I didn't become a teacher until 30 years later, and I was a theater teacher. So, yeah, but I got an English degree at...
Where did you teach theater?
Orange, Texas, uh-huh. West Orange Stark. And for about a half a year, I came back the day after Thanksgiving and quit in Mesquite.
Okay.
It was just...
Orange is an interesting place.
I just love that they have theater teachers in those two towns.
Yeah.
In Orange, yeah.
In Mesquite. I mean, you wouldn't think that they would have...
Well, you know,
Mesquite,
I would guess,
more than Orange. But
No, the one-act play is like a source of pride in Texas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it has single-handedly built the theater market or the theater teacher market out there. Oh. Everybody wants to win all these contests. And so if it weren't for contests, you're right, there would be no theater in small towns like Orange. I also was in Pearland, where the mm-hmm. where the Judies are from.
I was about to say the Judies, because we've been talking a lot about the Judies.
Well, that's actually fascinating. And so when did you make the switch? It's not even a switch. You started writing and performing in your own things.
Yeah, I started doing stand-up at 20.
Oh, so?
So okay. 30 years ago.
Very then, brave. Tell us about your first stand-up.
My first stand-up, I had seen a documentary at the Dolby Mall when Scott Dinger owned it. I saw, and it was kind of the making of Search for Signs of Intelligent Life in the Universe, mm-hmm. and it was shot here in Austin because she played the Paramount before she went to Broadway, and I just loved her character work, and I had memorized backward and forward this album called Lily Tomlin Live on Stage, which was a one-woman show that she did in the 70s, and that's where I started doing the kind of work that I do. I fell in love with that, and my first night that I did at the Laugh Stop, which is now the Capital City Comedy Club, I did a priest hearing confessions. So okay. I did character work then.
So
and eventually
yeah.
I wrote standard, stand up jokes.
That was right. So that actually is a natural progression to mm-hmm. go from that yeah. type of stand up into. Yeah. into
and 25 years ago, I wrote 12 Steps to More Dysfunctional You based on my adventures in sobriety because I was sober for 5.5 years through college. But by the time I did 3 of the dysfunctional plays, I was back out.
You're back out.
I was in between sobrieties.
Well, good. It adds more steps that way.
Right, yes.
And so you're here in Austin, and at some point you moved to Houston.
That's right. Went back to Houston 7 years ago
mm-hmm.
to help Mom and Dad out, and Dad passed away in August.
Right, we're
and
sorry
so
to hear
I'm
that.
Helping, yeah, thank you. And so I'm helping Mom out, and we're having a lovely old time. You would never have thought that we could do this when I was growing up with her because we clashed all the time. But she's a sweetheart. I love her.
Awesome.
She's my buddy.
What's her name? Let's give her a shout out.
Michelle.
Michelle, I'm giving you fist pump and a jazz hand.
There you go. Musical shout out.
Awesome.
what are you doing theater in Houston now?
No. Okay. I want to put an end to that. I mean, well, I did the Frank Young thing a couple of days ago, so yes, yeah. I am, as a matter of fact. I want to put an end to that. One of the big things that has happened this year was just I decided, I'm 50, and when I was 20, I was too stupid to know that you can't have a career in the arts and entertainment. And since I didn't know that, I had a career in arts and entertainment, And then I started getting practical and being a teacher and hating everything about it and waiting tables and selling gym memberships. And it just was just such a disaster, such a chronic failure that I said, I'm 50, but I'm going to pretend like I'm 20 and I'm going to pretend like I'm too stupid to know that you can't have a comeback at 50.
So you're coming
and I'm
going to
have a comeback at 50.
Good for you. Excellent. Well, that's...
Damn the torpedoes.
Yeah, but remember, we're all 18, really. Our bodies are just getting older, but we're really 18.
It's 1985.
That's true. So are you going to concentrate on your own work? Or are you going to try to audition and get in other stuff? Are you going
to
do musicals?
Yeah, I'd love to audition and work with other people. Mm-hmm. I love doing that kind of work. It just always, when I was doing this was the way, I just had a whole machine. I would book something at the Vortex and I would write it and I'd show up and we'd tech it and fix it and make it and then it'd go up and then I'd go and write the next show. So if I get into a loop like that again, then I might not be doing theater with other people on stage. But I actually do have 2 plays right now that are unproduced that are full ensemble plays.
Right.
Yeah.
And you told me about one of them, which was...
Menagerie on a Hot Tin Streetcar, a Tennessee Williams mashup.
Oh, my God. So Menagerie and a Hot Tin Streetcar must run at the same time to A Bountiful Trip to Pippin.
That's right.
They could be run back to back. We could make a whole series. Ground That's floor a, open?
There you go.
Can we book it all?
Yeah, we got it all.
Okay.
What's the other one?
The other one is called... God, what the hell was it?
I don't know.
Christmas from Heck.
Christmas Watch your Heck. Language.
Yeah. It's about a family called the Hecks. Austin. It's an Austin thing. And it's a big discussion of race and class. And I feel like it's so important to get, people that aren't white on stage.
Absolutely.
But I think it's important for them to write those stories. So I'm having a real big problem because everything is a guess. And I don't think I know I'm guessing wrong.
Time for collaborator.
Yeah, time for collaborator. Yeah.
And that's actually something good to do. Well, we're really happy that you are back here in Austin, even for a short time. Mm-hmm. Come back and visit us. And we're glad that you're making a comeback. Rock on.
Thank you.
Oh, let me ask you this. If you were to be cast in a musical right now, one of our American musical canons out there, which one would you like to be cast in?
It doesn't have to be an age-appropriate role either.
Yeah, anything.
Anything.
What have you always wanted to be Annie.
I would want to be Fagin. I would love to be Fagin.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that would,
awesome.
That's one of my
And
Harold Hill. I'd love to be Oliver.
Oh, Harold Hill would be so much fun.
I could see you doing Fagin. You know what? I could see you doing Harold.
So funny, I just saw Oliver on the... I was going through the channels and it said Oliver and I clicked it on.
More porridge, please.
It was Little Women.
Oh, really? Yes. Well, they really did get that one wrong.
They really did.
It's just, please, sir, I want some more.
Please, sir, I want some more.
They're a little slow on that, but today's show still had Matt Lauer on there for a good week on the info, and I was like, they may want to update that one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us backstage.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye.
You've got to pick a pocket or two. Sing, boys.
Boys, if we all break our backs, better pick a pocket or two.
Charlie, take your hat off while you're in class.